Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
The hosts at WEEI rarely want them to speak.
You are a bunch of dumb MFers.
They put up with absurd requests for the past week.
Go to the crack shack, tell them Mutt sent you.
And now they've left the control room to get behind the mic.
You're marketing abrasiveness, and it's changing talk radio.
This is the WEEI Producers Show with Tyler Devitt.
What I've said is not accurate. Forget it. Delete it from the system. We'll dump that, and it won't be on the podcast.
John Anderson.
All I'm going to say, we can leave it at this. I don't kiss and tell. Let's check the birth rates in Nashville in 9 months.
And Chris Scheim.
With like honey bacon jam. Oh, daddy. Did you see a Quizzle on Twitter? God, I choked on my own
on WEEI.
With the guy who choked on his spits and the guy who's responsible for the birth rates rising in Nashville, I'm Tyler Devitt alongside John Anderson and Chris Scheim. Thank you guys for joining me this weekend. This is the WEEI Producers Show. And a lot of good stuff to get to. We have a lot on our plate here. The last couple of weeks felt a little thin, but now that you have Patriots football back in your life, you have Andy.
Football is back, baby!
It feels great, doesn't it? You actually have real games to talk about rather than, hey, you know, Jeff Howell tweeted out the 7-on-7 practice stats, and there were three drops. It's like, I don't even care about training
didn't
camp
care
stats,
about that.
Practice stats, reps, who went first in the first team. So there's a lot to get to with the quarterbacks. Chris Scheim, you're not a Mac Jones guy,
nope.
But what was your reaction to Mac Jones in his preseason debut?
I guess I'll tell you exactly what I told Gresh, Keith, and John in our group text.
I hate this.
Quote, Mac Jones is so mediocre it hurts.
One preseason game, and Scheim is elongating it to his entire career already. You knew he was going to do it.
This was specifically in response to them drooling all over themselves when Gresh texts in all capital, Mac. I'm like, chill.
Okay, Gresh texting Mac is just him saying he's clearly better than Cam.
Week one with the come at me emoji. Come on now. This was nothing.
Let me pause you there. Will you at least admit there was a stark contrast when you went from Cam Newton in the beginning, the first series or two, to bringing in Mac Jones? You saw a difference,
I have
correct?
Made it very, very clear.
This is the worst part of Scheim's take,
Cam
though.
Cam Newton. I mean, Mac Jones is very mediocre, but he's still better than Cam Newton. Like, he should probably start very soon.
I think we're all on the same page here.
Yeah, right. I've come to the conclusion that Mac Jones probably should start week five. Like, I was entering this, and I'm like, probably not going to start at all this year. I think he should probably start week five. Now, granted, I don't think he's going to offer you a ton. Like, you're not making an AFC Championship game with Mac Jones. Sorry, not going to happen. Granted, you're also not going to do that with Cam Newton. But at this point, I guess you got to let the young guy play. Like, that's kind of where I'm coming from. I don't think Mac's going
we'll
to be
to
any
that,
good.
We'll get to that, by the
way. I don't think he is very good. But at the same time, he's still better than what Cam Newton brings. So, I mean, you got to play the kid. So,
I mean, the Super Bowl for the Patriots is week four this year, right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely.
Start Mac Jones week one and build up to week four.
Yes.
Because Cam Newton, they're going to play they're returning the entire team again. They've been the first in rush defense DVOA the last 2 years. You're not beating the Buccaneers with Cam Newton.
Yeah, no. But Belichick doesn't look at it like Jones. That. Like, Belichick's going to look at it from a season-long perspective.
No, Belichick wants to beat Brady.
Yeah, but he also wants to make the playoffs. He would rather make the playoffs than beat Tom Brady.
And the best way to do both is by starting your best quarterback, which is Mac Jones.
Right. Yeah, but in his mind, that may not be the case.
The guy who can actually throw the ball.
Yeah, but in his mind, that may not be the case because I think the one thing that he
didn't look at that and think that Cam's better than Mac.
No, I'm not saying he
did. He's insane if he doesn't see that.
I think what he may have thought is that Mac is going to be a little bit of a riskier play because I think he's going to be prone to some interceptions, especially as a rookie. Because I think one of the things you notice...
More so than Cam.
Yes. I mean, Cam only threw 10 interceptions. I think Mac could throw more than that.
And a very small throwing sample size.
Yes.
Because they tried to limit him those mistakes.
This is why. And I think it was one of the one things you can glean from the game, and it's Mac's processing ability. I think pre-snap, Mac is actually very good. He's better than I thought he was. All right, I saw him shift protections. I saw him call
Super
some audibles.
Smart.
I thought pre-snap, Mac was very good. I think post-snap, Mac's decision-making has a long way to go. There was a couple passes in particular. One, he had a guy in his face. He threw a comeback route to Wilkerson right along the hash marks in the middle of the field. And if Wilkerson doesn't dive back for that ball, that's a pick. It was going to be right in
okay,
the
defense.
Okay,
so this is what I'm talking about.
We did this yesterday.
So, Sean, you went through all the passes yesterday.
Yep.
And this was my pre-show tweet as well. I see that play, and all I'm seeing is Wilkerson doesn't work back towards the ball like a receiver is supposed to. And if he does, with it not diving, then he catches the ball and he's right there. But also, the guy is in his face, but
he was in double coverage. Like, the point is, throw it into the ground. You know what he did the previous play when a guy was in his face? He threw it into the ground. That's fine. I would rather you do that than throw it into double coverage where the only reason it's not going to be an interception is because Wilkerson has to make a play on it.
See, I don't even think that was double coverage, though, because it was zone and there were two guys there, but he throws it here with the intention of the if that visualization works for the audience, with the premise being that Wilkerson's supposed to come back to the ball and he comes in front of him and catches it. Like, it doesn't matter if there's two guys right there.
The play hadn't even developed. Wilkerson hadn't even had an opportunity to come back.
But that's the point, is you throw the ball before he comes back, which he did on a different play to Wilkerson on a separate comeback
and
where he threw
the top
ball
of the route.
Before,
like, you have to know.
But that's what you do.
But you have, yes, exactly. But you have to know the timing of that. Tom Brady, that ball's in the ground. Like, you have to understand
the
timing of the route.
The timing of it was good, though.
No, it was not.
Wilkerson didn't do the right thing. Mac did the right thing.
What are you talking about?
We don't know that for sure, do we?
Wilkerson was running his route.
I mean, that's just a standard wide receiver thing, is come back to the ball so that the defenders don't get there.
He was still running the route, John.
But that's what you're supposed to do when they run the route. You're supposed to throw it before they turn so that when they turn, it's right there.
I'm just going to sit back here and relax.
That is standard route running quarterback wide receiver pass throw.
Yes, but when
it's timing perfect, that is timing.
Linebacker in a corner right on the guy, you don't just throw it and hope that he makes a catch.
No, you're not hoping. The wide receiver is supposed to come back to the ball.
He was at the top of the route. He hadn't even had an opportunity to come back
yet. So you throw it, time passes, and as time passes, the ball moves, and as more time passes, he comes back to the route. I did watch the play.
We're breaking down one Christian Wilkerson comeback route from preseason
this
game.
This is what determines
if it's a bad decision.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame or not.
A bad decision, John. Yes, it was. You have to realize that this guy is not perfect. He is a rookie.
I know he's not perfect, but that plays
You're
a bad example
out,
of it.
Everything you guys have done is make him out to be perfect. Everyone
is
drooling over this.
He has a rare football brain.
Rare football brain.
I think he struggled with ball placement. I think he struggled against zone coverage.
That's exactly what I just said! The Wilkerson play was ball placement.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, my.
Well, it's ball. Okay, if you want to do ball play.
You just said I was right.
Shive, if you want to do.
We're talking about one damn play.
If we're going to talk about ball. Shut up, Tyler. This is our show now. If we're going to talk ball placement when there's a defender
in his
face.
Let's talk ball movement. Ball movement, please.
Yes, pivot. Ball movement.
If there's a defender in his face and we're talking like the ball was a little low, then I don't know what to tell you.
No, that's
like,
not
Tom
what
Brady
I'm talking
would have put that ball low, too.
That's what I'm saying. I would have rather it have been low. I would have rather it been uncatchable. Is
that's
what I'm
ball
you.
Movement. You keep on moving the ball around till you get it open.
But overall, from an overall perspective, I thought Mac was fine. Was he good?
Is that a C, a C plus? What is the Chris Scheim grading
like
scale here?
Like a 70. It's right on the border of
average.
A C plus.
So
like a 76, 77, right in that range.
PFF was 82.
You're a tough grader. I'd go like a B minus, like an 80.
Yeah.
That's a fair grade
for him. That's about right. And that's not to say, like, I don't. We're blowing it up into, like, Scheim is this way and I'm this way because of one play. I know.
Me and John have been on opposite sides of this the entire time, so this is just something boiling over.
Scheim said he's horrible. I said he's going to start week one. So we could not be more diametrically. We're like Virginians in a room. We're diametrically opposed
Left
foes.
Wing wacko.
Yes.
Yep.
Hey.
Exactly. And how about Cam? Like, what would you grade Cam? Because I'd say he was just a hair worse.
Yeah, I would say, C-.
The fumble wasn't really his issue. It was Isaiah Wynn getting blown by by Chase Young.
Yeah, that was, again, the fumble was not his issue, but like the easy screen passes, man.
Yeah.
I think that's what bugs me the most, is it's like he'd throw a pretty decent pass one play, And then the next play is a just dump to J.J. Taylor or James White, and it's not even close. And it's not like he's facing a lot of pressure. It's not like the running back is in a giant mob and he's hard to hit. It's just a bad throw.
And it's a fundamental issue because it's got to be mechanics or something because he's not setting his feet, or he's straight up throwing it with his chest parallel to the receiver.
And the one thing that Cam does really well, they didn't really do in the preseason game, that's probably because they're just trying to keep him healthy, right? Yep. I think they're going to run him into the ground. If and when he does start this season, I think it's going to be a run heavy. I am going to emphasize the word heavy, like heavier than me offense is kind of where I'm at, because I don't think Cam can throw the football.
Even like all the short ones, like Cam couldn't hit. I mean, we saw it last year with the screens, like him just being inaccurate on very short passes.
Yep.
Like Mac hit all of those swing
all
passes
the checkdowns,
last night.
Every checkdown to Mac's credit,
low one to Jakob Johnson, I think. But
yep,
other
that was
than
on
that,
a flare. Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, like all those, they did a bunch of designed swing passes to Christian Wilkerson. And he's on point with all of those. As long as the blocking's good, it's going to turn into that Flacco play the other night where 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage and guy could take it to the house as long as everything else
and
goes
Flacco's
right.
A 1-for-1 with 85 yards and touchdown.
And a perfect passer rating.
Passer rating 145.
Let's
get to Bill Belichick. We obviously graded Mac Jones a hair above Cam Newton, I think somewhere in the C-plus to B-minus range. I give him a B-minus. Bill Belichick, what do you think? How did the rookie fare?
What were your thoughts on the way Mac led the offense?
Yeah, we'll look it on film and, you know, see. There's, you know, some good things. There's plenty of things we can improve on. It's true for everybody. It's true for all of us.
Classic Belichick answer. I think he would have to even admit that he saw a difference between the offenses, and it was by game plan because...
It's by design.
Because
there was a completely different rhythm and pace and tempo, all of those musical terms, to when Mac Jones was in compared to Cam.
The time wasn't an issue, and they decided to go up tempo with, 4 minutes left in the first quarter in the second series?
Mac Jones was playing lead guitar, Cam Newton's playing rhythm guitar.
Yep, and so going into that game, I like that. That's a good metaphor.
I like the musical reference.
Going into the preseason game number one, I thought there was almost no chance that Mac starts week one in the actual season, but actually seeing them on the field for the first time, because I haven't been at practice, I'm only taking Andy Hart's word for it, or, you know, Ryan Hannibal. Do you guys actually believe there's a real chance, now actually seeing some game action, there's a real chance that Mac Jones starts week one?
I mean, John's been saying along he does. I still don't. Like, I don't think Mac, the earliest Mac starts is week five against Houston, in my opinion. I can't envision.
Is it because the Brady game is why he's going week five?
I think it's more so just because Houston sucks.
That's
just
true.
an easy opponent for Mac to start. And I just cannot envision Bill Belichick starting a rookie week one. I just can't do it. It's just, I think it's the way Belichick has almost like Pavlovianly trained us. But that's just kind of where I'm at. I don't think Belichick would ever start a rookie quarterback week one.
Yeah, so I've been saying all along I think he's going to start week one. This game doesn't clinch that for me, per se. But, like, everybody's been saying all along, like, Cam needs to be bad, Mac needs to be good, it needs to be a sizable gap in order for Mac Jones to start week one. And this game, I think there is a gap, but it's going to take two more games to decide that gap. And now the question is the decision made before the third game?
I think
he might not even play Cam in the third game.
Tom Curran used the word knockout by Mac, I think, on Gresham Keith.
Right.
I think that's accurate. I think Mac
needs
win.
A knockout
he
punch.
Needs to win by knockout in order to be the starter, and he doesn't have a lot of time is the issue, right? Now that you only have three preseason games, it's really just the next preseason game, and then by then, Belichick has his decision. At the end of game two, Belichick knows who's starting week one.
And it might have to be Cam delivering the knockout punch to himself for Mac to get in.
Exactly.
A self-inflicted wound.
I don't know that there's a scenario where, unless Mac comes out and is like 18 of 19 for 250 and two touchdowns. Like, I don't think there's any way Mac is just going to outright convince Belichick in week two of preseason that he's going to start week one.
The thing is, too, Tyler, is like, if Cam starts, like, it's not like they're going to lose a bunch of games or get blown out by any teams to the point.
Correct.
Like, remember when Bill O'Brien was like, nah, Tom Savage is our starter, and they're getting blown out in week one and Deshaun's in at halftime.
This is not like Jake Luton.
Yeah, like, they're probably going to be 3-0 or 2-1 with Cam as a starter. It's the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Saints.
Yeah.
I think that that's the bordering on 3-0, 2-1. Like, maybe halftime of the Tampa game is when Mac comes in, because that could be the game that they're getting blown
it
out
could
in the
be.
First half.
100%.
28-0 halftime, and you're almost
no
forced
pressure,
to try something else. So, John, you won Mac week one. I won Mac week one. You won nobody week one. You think Mac's the better option.
I'd rather them snap to no one and then just have to chase the fumble every
time. I would rather them just run the Wildcat
just
with like J.J. Taylor at quarterback.
And so when Mac Jones actually came on the field for the first time making his professional debut, albeit in preseason, here's how the Gillette Stadium crowd responded.
Gets it outside the 25, and here comes the rookie Mac Jones. Welcome to Foxborough. Welcome to the NFL. Oh, look at this place. Tell me they're not ready for the next guy.
So one of the big takeaways.
It's really good to see him wear a real quarterback number two.
One of the big takeaways.
Roll down tide.
One of the big takeaways from Curtis, I heard it, I think it was his lead on the Greg Hill show, I saw it on Twitter, was that the roar and the reaction, even at the end of game, the "we want Mac" chants will force Belichick's hand to start Mac Jones. Is this a factor at all?
The fans have never once. Nothing you say has ever impacted Bill Belichick, because he's just going to make his decisions. Especially now, after having won, what, 6 Super Bowls? The guy doesn't give an F. He doesn't care what you think.
Now, I will have to admit,
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
Yeah, I think Bill, I mean, you're human. You have to recognize the fans are cheering for this guy. They want him. He's the first round quarterback. Bill doesn't take first round quarterbacks.
They wanted Stidham last year, too.
Exactly. Every NFL market, if the starting quarterback's not good, the backup quarterback is like the superstar on the team. It's happened everywhere I've ever been.
Or Jake Fromm was pretty good yesterday.
He was great. Had the game-winning drive.
Do.
Yeah, he's a great one. Where's he at? He's in Indianapolis, right?
Indy.
Yep. So back to the Mac Jones Cam Newton debate. So there was a questionable Instagram post from Cam Newton. It was basically a photo dump, is the way I heard you describe it, John. He had 10 photos all in black and white.
That's how Cam described it. He wrote photo dump on it.
He did. He actually did. He goes, in the caption, he goes, I'm far from perfect, which he has 10 photos all in black and white. They're insane. The caption is, I'm far from perfect, but loyalty, I deserve it. Hashtag photo dump. Hashtag shine through the shade. Hashtag not for likes, just for like. Just for life. And so the key part there, which everyone picked up on, was the loyalty, I deserve it. Who is he directing this at?
The people.
The people?
Is
it not Bill Belichick?
No, I think this has nothing to do with the franchise.
The people as the Patriots fans.
Yes. I don't think Belichick could be any more loyal to Cam than he has been. Right? Like, brought the guy
too loyal.
Right? To the point where it's kind of infuriating us as people, as the fans.
Yeah.
And so I think this is just it's a comment to the general public. It may not even be necessarily directed at Patriots fans. It might just be the general public, national media, Patriots fans, the whole like, where it's just like, I deserve the loyalty. I've been around for a long time and all this stuff. And I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, it doesn't, to me, I think a lot, it's much to do about nothing in a lot of ways, because it's like people just overreacting to a photo dump.
Yeah, I'm trying to. One thing we should have checked on before, and I'm trying to check this now, is if it's a rap lyric or not. Because usually,
I googled that yesterday on our show.
Well, he does have it in quotes.
So when I googled it yesterday, the only thing that came up was a bunch of Tumblr pages. I saw no song references.
Starry sky, loyalty, I deserve.
Yep. Like a cool, bunch of cool little
a
graphics.
A low shot of a bunch of bottles of alcohol behind the bar.
Somebody's Pinterest account.
I deserve
account.
Loyalty.
Yeah, I think Jalen Mills had a Drake lyric he posted like the day after signing with the Patriots. The only outcome I want is income. And Lou's been holding it against him like, oh, this guy's only here for the money. He's only here for that. I'm like,
old
no,
white
dude
holding rap lyric against athlete.
Yeah, I'm like,
holy,
it's a Drake lyric. Come on.
So now that I think of it, I know the last couple times, not the, like exactly the last couple times, but a few times in the past, relatively recently, Cam has posted with lyrics from J. Cole's most recent album. So I wouldn't be shocked if that was also a quote from one of those songs.
It's just, he's just posting a quote.
Yeah.
It's just white girls do it every day.
But there's an intention by choosing those words and that phrasing. Loyalty, I deserve it. The day after the Patriots game, the day after the We Want Mac chants, the day after you just heard the Gillette Stadium crowd roar to Mac Jones' arrival.
I mean, Cam.
This guy has such a massive ego, and it's got to be fragile right now.
I mean, putting out themes of power as an athlete who has always been on top of his game. Like, just try to imagine how Cam Newton's psychology is different than ours. Not only Cam Newton, but every single athlete who has poured every ounce of their life into getting to this point.
An NFL
MVP. Of course they're going to have, like, a bit of an ego and, like, a power. It's literally, it's not even his fault. It's not like he's, like, making a choice to do that.
And in his head, he sees what people do for Tom Brady and how much they love him, and he's probably like, why don't I get that? And in his head, it doesn't click that, well, it's because Tom Brady's still winning Super Bowls at 44 years old. It's just a, why aren't I getting that? That's why I don't think it's anything at the organization. It's just to the general public.
This is the WEI Producer Show. We're taking your calls at 617-779-7937. I personally believe that after seeing the two quarterbacks on the field week one, Bill Belichick will have no other choice than to go with Mac Jones week one. Let's go to Steve in the truck on line one. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hey, Steve.
So I'm an older guy, 68 years old. I've been watching the Patriots since Dave Pirelli. And I listen to all three shows every day I'm in the truck. And yesterday, I couldn't believe what I heard. I mean, you got a guy, people calling up like me, and the guy's going, oh, he's a stud. Look, it's preseason. He played one series against the ones and two other series or three series against the twos and threes. Belichick couldn't care less about what me, you, the fans, or even Bob Kraft, what he said. He's going to do what he wants to do. In my scenario, I think, personally, I don't think Cam's great. I know he's not great, but that way, I think this kid's better, but it's going to take a little bit. When he gets into real games at real time, he may have, you know, crap down his leg. So I think it's going to be four or five games before he gets into the real games. I don't think he's starting day one. I don't think he put that kind of pressure on the kid, because you don't know what's going to happen with a lot, you know, with live defenses coming at you a lot faster. He's from Alabama, but you know what? I don't care what anybody people. Oh, Alabama's as good as the Jets. No, they're really not. There's no college team that is as good.
Steve,
as
Steve, let me ask you a quick question. Is there any chance that Mac in the preseason, these next two games, there's only three this year? Is there any chance in the next two games he does enough to start week one, or is it for sure Mac week one?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because you know what? It's preseason. Mm-hmm. And if you go back where they played four games this season, you know, Brady really never played. He played, what, one or two series in each of the first two games. The third game was the game they always played. Like, he would play maybe the first quarter or the first half, and then the scrubs come in, and the fourth game meant nothing. So I don't think he can do enough to persuade him to start in the first game and put him under that pressure.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call. 617-779-7937. Steve says he can't do enough. Are you on that same line of thinking?
I think Steve's kind of right, hitting the nail on the head here. To be honest with you, I think Belichick's already made up his mind. He's just not telling you.
Yep.
Like, I think he plans on starting Cam Newton week one, and that's his plan, and then he'll kind of figure it out as he goes. Well, he's going to start Cam as long as he can and then go.
Let's go do Spencer in Maine. Morning, Spencer. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Spencer.
Hello.
All right, fellas. All right, and first of all, Shime, you're right. You're right on. I'm actually agree with Shime. I actually love listening to him with Gresham Chief. That being said, now, Sean, you talked yesterday with Gresham Chief. Hold on. Yesterday, Shime brought some stats.
Oh no,
that's no lie though. So.
Spencer, you cut out. We didn't hear what your part of your sentence cut out there. Can you just repeat it?
Sure, okay. So, Sean, you brought up stats yesterday with Gresham Keefe. I totally agree that, you know, they're both looking mediocre, but Max a little better. Now, that being said, Belichick doesn't give an F about what we think or anything like that, but you do know, though, he has mentioned stats before. Do you think after a couple, two or three preseason games, you look at his stats, and even though they look mediocre, I mean, he may look at it going, okay, well, now he's like 45 for, you know, 57, and then couple touchdowns, interceptions, you know, Cam's not going to get any close to that. That's why I think he's possibly going to start. They're going to, regardless of the media, regardless of, you know, the general public looking at it, Belichick's going to look that stuff on papers, look at it on film. It's going to be forced. What do you think?
Yeah, Spencer, I'm a big stats guy. Yeah, Belichick, that's how Belichick feels about stats. He thinks they're for losers.
Except
Andy Hart tells me this all the time.
Except when they show that Mac Jones is a good QB.
Oh. Or when they matter to him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Newton threw for 300 yards against the Texans. Lou, what are you talking about? Why are you asking me who's starting next week?
It bugs me so much when he goes, oh, yeah, we don't care about analytics here. But then, like, they have one of the highest fourth down go-for-it rates in all of football. Like, come on,
They just
Bill.
Signed two starting tight ends, and he doesn't care about analytics.
He doesn't care about analytics talking to the media about it. Yeah, he cares about it in terms of football decisions. decisions and behind the scenes stuff.
I don't think he cares about preseason statistics, right? Like, I don't think he looks at, Belichick doesn't care about the box score. The thing he's going to look at is situational, like, moments, right? He's going to look at, okay, so that the very first pass, right? It should have been a completed pass. It wasn't a complete, or it was ruled incomplete, should have been completed. Belichick's, I'm not going to challenge this. I want to see how the kid responds. Does he respond positively? And Belichick's going to go back to those moments where he tests these guys, and he's going to be like, okay, how do they respond? And that's how he's going to make his decision. It's not going to be with box score. It's not going to be with completion percentage or passer rating or DVOA or any of them. It's going to be simply, how do these guys respond in tough situations?
And point in case.
And I feel like challenging.
And point in case, the very next play was that comeback route along the left side to Christian Wilkerson.
The one, yep, you guys were debating?
No, this was a separate one. This was 8 air yards.
Yeah, this was an 8 yards out.
Wilkerson worked his way back to the football. Novel concept, I know. Caught it. First down. Drive continues. Wow.
Yeah, it was an out.
Funny how that works.
You help out your quarterback and you make a catch. How about that?
Yep.
Interesting stuff. That is Chris Scheim, John Anderson. I'm Tyler Devitt. This is the WEI Producer Show. We're here every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. The Ken and Curtis Show follows us from 9 to 1. The Ben Volen Football Hour is back today. It's at noon.
Oh.
And we'll be back with the Producer Show, breaking down more of the Patriots quarterback competition, as well as talking about a happy Chris Sale Day, the first one here in 2021. The first one in like almost 2 years. Oh, yes. The people are excited, and especially Chris Scheim. We're back with the Producer Show after this.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
He came to me and talked to me, and we talked it out about, you know, just his expectation, you know, and every young quarterback goes through it. The excitement, the anticipation. You know, he wants to be so perfect, and I see his preparation is always, you know, pristine. And, you know, that's what I admire about him. You know, being at such a young age, he knows how to prepare and knows when Josh asks quick questions or when a person asks quick questions, he knows how to kind of have answers for it. And everybody's different. Everybody learns different. But for him in today's performance, he's just going to keep getting better. And, you know, we're going to be here for each other along this whole process. And, you know, that's what we're here for.
Back here on the WEI Producers Show, Chris Scheim, John Anderson, Tyler Devitt. Producing the Producers Show is Nick LePan. 8:31 here on WEI. And that comment right there sat with me for a while because I heard Andy Hart ran against Cam Newton's Instagram post. Oh, this is evidence that he's going to be a problem if he's the backup. You know, get him out of here. Like, he says one thing and does the other on Instagram. He's demanding loyalty. He wants it from Bill Belichick and the Patriots fans. You just heard it right there. He talked about we're going to be here for each other throughout the whole process. I don't know if that means the process in training camp and preseason and may the best man win and after that it's a problem or what, but he raved about the preparation, the smarts, the guy wanting to be perfect, meaning Mac Jones. I loved what Cam Newton said there about the rookie.
Yeah, and we're not going to hear that. We're going to see the Instagram post, and that's all the reaction you're going to get. We're not going to react to the good that you hear from Cam Newton and about how he is not, I wouldn't say full-blown mentoring, but he's not withholding information from Mac Jones just because he's in competition with him. That's something that I believe it was Alex Smith talked about that on, I think he was on Part of My Take the day before he got traded from the Chiefs to Washington, actually, is because they asked him about Patrick Mahomes, and that was before Mahomes' big breakout season, and he said, look, I'm not there to, like, be the teacher, but I'm not actively withholding information from the guy. Like, none of these people have, like, I'm sure there were situations where maybe there was a bit more vitriol. Like, I know Drew Bledsoe was really snippy at first when that change happened. But for the most part, like, these people want to help the young people.
Yeah.
And it's the first time Cam's had a guy at the same position as him that he's had to do it with. I know he's even talked before how he was the one having to deal with Devin Funchess and Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore and all those guys. But he's not withholding information from Mac Jones.
No, I don't think this is. There's no, like, I don't think they're friends. But, like, at the same time, like, I don't think Cam has a problem helping Mac. If Mac has a question, I don't think Cam's going to be like, go figure it out yourself.
The way Andy's framing it is, like, Cam will become like a bad teammate if he doesn't. Glenn's been fearing this too.
I also think that there's a chance that Cam doesn't care because he knows he's going to start. At least at the beginning, I think there's a very real possibility that Cam knows, oh, I'm going to start. I don't care. And Belichick probably told him at the end of last season, don't worry about it. Like, you're our guy. We're not going to bring in Stidham.
I mean, I'd be
we're
more concerned about Boyer. That than an Instagram post. I'd be more concerned if he's complacent than I am if he's posting the word, because he posts the word loyalty on, like, a social media account.
Yeah,
right?
I just don't think he's worried. Like, and I don't think he's concerned about being the backup. I think in his head, he's a number one guy. And I bet Belichick at some point has said, you're my guy.
Right.
In some regard. And Belichick can always, you know, step back from that or whatever, or however he phrased it. I don't know. But to me, it just seems like Cam's not worried about Mac. Like, he's going to help the kid when the kid needs help, but otherwise he's not going to be actively, you know, tutoring this kid left and right.
Isn't that why Hoyer's here?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they have, Josh McDaniels. That's why they have Mick Lombardi.
Like,
it's not Cam
coach.
Newton's job, but he's also but Cam Newton's not going to be like, oh, nope, sorry, Mac, not my job description.
And it's good
go
for
to that guy if you have a question.
It's good for Mac that pregame that he went to Cam and was like, yo, like, you've been here, done this. Like, I respect you. You're an MVP. You want to, you know, been to the Super Bowl, didn't win it, of course.
Cam's also spoken very candidly about he did not play well last year.
No, he recognizes
it. he knows it.
And like, he's not going to post the loyalty thing and then, like, it's like, oh no, he suddenly disagrees with what he said this past offseason about how poor he played. Like, he knows. He's not a dumbass.
And the biggest Cam defender is, like, Keyshawn Johnson said, like, you should retire if you do this again. Like, you were bad last year. Like, I defended you, like, irrationally throughout all last year. He sucked. And now he's saying, like, you do that again, like, you should retire, which I don't think it's going to happen. But the whole week one thing is, it's got to be playing in his mind. Like, even if he's not showing it, he has to feel threatened
I mean, Cam can't be a backup. He can't.
No. Well, I don't know.
The Cam Newton aura
persona
is way too big to be a backup quarterback.
I completely agree with
That's
you.
Exactly why the Bears didn't sign him last offseason. The Bears were interested. He's a similar quarterback to Mitchell Trubisky. They didn't sign him because he would have eaten Mitchell Trubisky alive.
It's just the Cam Newton. There is so much to go with Cam Newton. It's the same, like, with a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers. These guys are just larger than life. And so if you are bringing them into your organization, they are generally just going to always be your starter. And if they're not your starter, they're not on your roster.
They're
either
be in the
cut
league
or traded, like, or retired.
I can't even think, like, I know this isn't a great example per se, but, like, Eli Manning could have been a backup somewhere. But you bring in Eli Manning somewhere, I know that's not the same thing as Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or something. It's a 2-time Super Bowl winner who had, like, you know, a 15-year career.
Nick Foles. How about Nick Foles? Should have been a backup.
Yeah, I mean, should have been a backup. But, like, you bring an Eli Manning somewhere, and whoever you're, like, if the Jaguars were like, oh, Gardner Minshew's our starter, we're going to bring an Eli as a backup. You think Gardner Minshew's not looking over his shoulder the whole time?
Super Bowls? Yeah, absolutely.
That's not the same thing as, like, a Jarrett Stidham looking over his shoulder.
What about, like, a Joe Flacco?
Or a Trubisky looking over his fold. Joe Flacco, man, come on.
He's elite.
Stop.
No, stop.
No?
We're doing serious radio, Tyler. Shine. So a separate comeback run I wanted to bring up.
To the text line 37937, this is the WEI producer's show. From the 978, this is the best show on the station. When you all show up and do it, that's a big key, qualifier there. When you all show up and do it.
Hey, I have never
I get tummy
missed
aches sometimes.
I have never missed a producer show, so I'm here whenever I'm told to be here.
From the 413, Cam is not the rhythm guitarist. He's actually the guy at the merch booth.
I think he's more of the tambourine player. Like, he's part of the band, but like a fringe member.
He's a touring member.
Like, he's not on every song, but like when they need him, he's there.
Like, he's the guy in Foo Fighters who plays rhythm guitar in the background so that it doesn't look like Dave Grohl is playing guitar so poorly.
Mm-hmm. You know who Cam is? Cam Noonan is Axl Rose. Like, sometimes you're surprised when he actually
Nope.
He's sometimes like
too high.
He still has it in them. He's old. He's kind of washed up, and you're surprised that he actually makes it to some.
He's the Dave Matthews trumpet player. That's what he is. Like, so he's
the mandolinist.
Involved.
He's the sixth mandolinist in Arcade Fire.
So he's involved in a lot of the songs, but some of them it's just Dave and
he gets like
and
some
the
songwriting credits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, but it's like a pity songwriting. It's like when U2 credits their bassist with writing
a song.
It's
just because you've been around forever.
Yeah, I'm not. You were in the room. Yeah. You're in the room where it happened. So hold on. One more analogy, Tyler.
Sure.
Sometimes the rhythm guitarist or any member of the band, depending if the band's small, they're also the one working the merch booth.
That's true.
Do we think Cam's pulling double duty?
A young punk rock band.
That's true. Let's see here. I just lost the text. It keeps like moving around. How did you like that small running back from Arizona? I was thinking of him as a stand-in for
JJ?
Edelman. The small running back, why would that be a stand-in for Edelman? That makes no sense.
Like JJ Taylor?
I do like JJ Taylor.
He's fine.
I like JJ Taylor too.
Could he be the fourth running back?
He's like the sixth running back though.
Yeah, I think he's a practice
Well, the
guy.
Thing is Stevenson I think is going to get redshirted. Like Damian Harris did well in the preseason too. Like he'll get redshirted. It'll be Harris and Michelle as like your two-headed monster sort of thing. James White more of the pass catcher.
Bolden will be on the team because of special teams.
Yeah, special teams. And then also like Bolden not that bad if he has to fill in for one of those guys.
Especially
in
the goal line situations.
So I think they try to squeeze JJ through to the practice squad. That might be difficult this time around.
Yeah, I think what they would probably try to do is do that, like, basically how the Red Sox have the taxi squad. I think the NFL has tried to do that with the whole COVID issues. So I think JJ Taylor would probably be part of that COVID squad. If somebody was to get sick, JJ Taylor immediately on
the active
roster.
He's also a good James White backup.
Yep, exactly.
From the 7-8-1, where'd this go? John Anderson would beat Andy Gresh in an eating contest?
No, he wouldn't.
I disagree with that because of just the pure difference in BMI.
Like, the size of Andy Gresh. You've not seen Andy Gresh if you're texting that.
Right. Well, but Gresh would also, like, he'd be eating, like, chicken nuggets or something, whereas I'd be eating, like, a steak.
Well, so, like, let's say...
I inhale food.
Let's say you
give me a lot of credit,
pizza
but I
pizza eating contest. Like, I think Gresh is just going to eat more pizza than you.
Probably. But, like, I could eat a lot more than I'm being given credit for.
Oh, no, I think you can eat a
not
decent
more
amount.
Than Andy.
You're tall.
Not more than Andy.
But, like, Gresh is taller than you, which is tough, and he's way wider than you.
He's a very wide human being.
So I
very
just think,
wide.
I just
wide
think
load.
By natural by natural
BPD's
selection.
BPD's got to put a detail outside the front
selection.
Door every time he shows up.
By the process Caution. Of natural selection, Gresh would beat John.
From the other texters, Tom would be fine with Bill if he played with us. Probably not even related for us. It's probably someone for like the Providence crowd, whatever. This is the best show on the station. We already read that. I'm
maybe read that. You can read that one second. Time
yeah.
If you'd like.
From the 978, this is the best show on the station. Okay, we read that one. 774. You're right. Cam is similar to Trubisky. They both suck. I want to go back to that point. You made the point about Cam being larger than life, and that's the reason he didn't get brought in. Isn't that a knock on Mitchell Trubisky for not being mentally strong enough to have...
Yes,
it's not a knock on Cam.
It's not a knock on Cam. It's a knock on the front office for...
The Bears front office.
The Mitchell Trubisky draft pick is forever tied to...
Deshaun Watson
again?
And Patrick
Ryan
Mahomes.
Pace, is that his name?
Ryan
well,
Pace.
Yes, that. But like Ryan Pace thinking like, all right, I need my first round pick to develop in his fourth season or else I could be out of my job because I picked him. And I think they traded
not
up
only
for
picked
him as
him,
well.
Traded up for
yeah,
him,
yep,
one
exactly.
Spot.
Yeah, traded up one spot. So,
bunch
like, that is that's how GM, that's the psychology of GMs in the NFL because they don't get second chances most
no,
of the time.
Don't.
It's like literally Bill Polian, like Dave Gettleman. There's only a handful of them that have gotten second chances as GM. So, Ryan Pace is going to do that. And if he knows that bringing Cam Newton is just going to eat his former first round pick alive, then he's not going to do it.
Nope.
It is a happy Chris Sale day, one of the first ones we've had in almost two calendar years. I actually think it's been over two calendar years because it was 2 years ago on Friday yesterday where he made his last start. Obviously, had the Tommy John surgery, a long, arduous process in rehabilitation. But he will be going today. And one guy who will not be a reliever out of the bullpen today is Phillips Valdez.
Why's that?
He has not been good. He gave up, what, 7 runs against the Yankees in that 20-1 game, which became 20-8 after the final score.
I don't know. I tweeted that he didn't do well, and I got some interesting replies to it.
Did you really?
Everyone disagreed with me. I don't know why.
That's interesting. It may have been just one person, but this...
It was from Phillips Valdez was the account.
Was it?
You sure about
that? Adarn Schefter replied to me and said that.
So before we get to the burner story, I found this Instagram DM, and after the Yankees game, it was the Rays. 20-1, which became 20-8. Yes, it was the WEI suite night. We brought them luck for one night, and the bats erupted, and they were cold the next day. But some guy slid in Phillips Valdez, Phillips 16 on Instagram, slid his DMs and said, "You effing suck." And within like 8 hours, Valdez responds, "F you, fat ass." It's like, come on, Phillips. Like, you know that's going
to
get screenshotted.
But like that dude, no reason to slide into the dude's DMs and tell him he sucks.
Well, he probably has 500 people doing that.
If I had a bad show and someone DM'd me and was like, "Hey, man, like, you were really ass today," like, I'd be pretty pissed. Yeah. Like, you think I don't know that? Like, you think I don't know I had a horrible game?
I don't know that? Yeah, he knows he effing sucks.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
So I didn't know this story. I saw the Instagram DM and I laughed at this, but before the show, when we were discussing this, Chris Shyam, you brought up the Phillips Valdez may potentially be like Kevin Durant 2.0. He's ruthless, we saw in the DM right there, but he may also be a burner guy with
multiple burners. There's a very good chance that Phillips Valdez has a burner account. And I want to shout out my buddy Audi. He sent me all these screenshots. Yes, like the car.
Trying to get a free car.
My buddy Volkswagen sent us some as well.
No, I'm serious. That's his name. And he sent me a bunch of screenshots and was like, "I have found the ultimate Phillips Valdez burner account." So credit to him for finding this. Thank you for your help. But if you go back to the Red Sox Instagram post from the other night, the caption, by the way, is 20 run night. Under that, you'll find an account labeled AG Maraliba 9265. This account, John and Tyler, have 0 posts,
okay,
0 followers, And it's following 11 people.
Okay, suspicious. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
So these are the comments that were left. So somebody says, "Valdez gave up 8 runs on like 21 pitches, cry face." At that person, "That kid has great talent. They barely put him in. It's their fault for not giving him a chance."
Is Cam Newton on triangle right now?
I guess so. Next one. "Last pitcher almost blew it. Hey, not his fault. They barely put him in. They need to warm him up there." Then responds again, "He's a good one, believe it or not." We got another comment. "Valdez puke emoji. This AG Maraliba. You can STFU and choke on glass handshake emoji."
There's nobody out there staunchly defending Phillips Valdez like this.
On every comment, every negative Phillips Valdez comment.
I don't know
comment,
if I knew who he was until today.
This profile response.
Steve Peralta and Jared Carabas aren't even doing this.
So like, it's either Phillips Valdez or it's Valdez's mom. Like, it's one of the two, and there's no in-between.
Unless it's the wife. Usually the family members don't have burners, though. Like, Goodell's wife had a burner. And, like, yeah, most of them just do it from their own. Like,
Anna Horford will just chirp at you.
Gabrielle Gilmore.
For a while, if you tweeted anything about the wide receiver Cody Latimer, his aunt would like it.
Yeah.
she would clearly search out his name.
Miles Bryant last year and his aunt liked it.
Oh, yeah. Like, Bianca Wilfork was Mrs. 75.
Like, spouses and family members, for the most part, they'll just come at you from their own accounts. They don't care. And good for them.
By the way, I am blocked by Tyrann Mathieu, and I've never tweeted at him, never interacted with him. I searched my history. I've never even followed.
He blocked the formerly known as the Dale and Keefe account a few years ago. Yeah.
Someone else has as well. That would be one Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger blocked
He's blocked probably 200,000 people.
I'm blocked by Sean Merriman on Twitter. We got into a Twitter fight in like 2013. I told him that MJD knocked the steroids out of him, but he was never the same.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
That's true. That is very true.
I'm not sure if I'm blocked by anybody on Twitter. I don't know. Can you look that up?
If you go on their profile, it will say like tweets are restricted.
Yeah.
I think.
There's no like list you can look up because that'd
be
interesting.
I don't actively search out anybody. And so from what I know, nobody's ever blocked me, but you know.
Oh, Michael Silver blocked me as well, the NFL Network reporter, because I kept replying to everything he tweeted with that photo of him and Hugh Jackson drunk with like all the pizza and Mixies in front of them. So now I have to. He had like a legit report once last year, and I couldn't access it because I was blocked. It's like, damn it, Michael
had,
Silver.
Had to switch to the Gresham or the Dale and Keefe account at that time. So happy Chris Sale Day. He goes this afternoon. We have the Ken and Curtis show following us, and then I think Live BP taking you all the way up until the Red Sox pregame show for the Red Sox and Orioles with Chris Sale making his return 2 years and 1 day from his last start. We'll wrap things up with the WEI producer show next.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to more of the guys. The WEEI Producer Show.
Back here on the WEI Producer Show, John Anderson, Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Devitt. The show, the Producer Show, is produced by Nick LaPan, as always. And got a few minutes left here in the show, and we kind of want to do some, I wouldn't say journalism 101, but this is something that I think
it's 101.
All three of us know this is something you cannot do in any sort of college, pro sports. I wouldn't even do this in high school. So a UConn college kid, I'm guessing he's, you know, 20, 21, probably in his very first Patriots press conference, he opened up the presser, I believe, which was on Zoom, it wasn't in person, and here was the UConn college kid's question to the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, and trust me, I will warn you, it is very cringeworthy. Here it is.
Good morning, Bill. First of all, I just wanted to take a chance to formally introduce myself to you.
No,
my name is Arnav Sharma. I'm a student at the University of Connecticut, and I write for the SI-Pax Damon. And at the risk of making everyone
feel a little older,
it's great to meet you over Zoom. At the risk of making everyone feel a little bit older than they're probably comfortable feeling, I was born in 2001.
Did he script this?
So for pretty Nobody much cares as long about as your I can bio. Remember, I looked up to you as my personal hero, so I appreciate you taking my question. And for the last 17 years now, the team has had a streak of at least one rookie undrafted free agent on the opening night roster. Is there a moment over the last 17
All right, stop,
years
stop,
that
stop,
stands
stop.
Out?
So from the beginning part to where he goes, you know, we might make some of these people that are older here feel uncomfortable. He had like 25 seconds of build up till he actually asked the question
right.
about.
And by the way, so he's a public figure. So his name's Arnav Sharma. He goes to UConn. He writes for Patriots SI Maven. And I'm not saying
that's actually a real outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So yeah, it's the Patriots. It's like how Pat's Pulpit is SB Nation's Patriot. It's the it's essentially the same thing. I'm not saying go follow the kid and start tweeting at him because that also
That's
is not productive.
So cringy, man.
But
I was born in 2001.
What note on this
so
kid?
For pretty much as long as I can remember, I've looked up to you as my personal hero.
Okay, so first off, okay, so 2 points here. One, not the time and the place to be doing fan meet and greet. Like we talked about last week, how the press conference is a particular arena. It is for a certain thing. It is not going to meet your hero. That's not what that is. Nope. It's the same thing if you're in a locker room and you go up to a player and you say, hey, I went to college with you. I was a big fan. Also, don't do that. If you run into him at a bar, then, like, yeah, do that. If you run into him on Nantucket, do that. This kid's in UConn School of Medicine, 2027. Why is he doing Patriots SI?
I don't know. It's like
Dude,
a side
don't save
gig.
Lives. Don't bother with football.
Yeah, learning that heart surgery and asking Bill Belichick questions.
Mutt is so sad right now. You're hurt. You're hurting the GD name of UConn.
Oh no, that was bad. That was bad. So let's turn the page. Let's get off sports for a bit. We got about 1 or 2 minutes left here on the show. Let's talk some food. So the mayor of Flavortown, Guy Fieri. I haven't actually seen the video or the pictures about this item that we're going to talk about. This is Guy Fieri introducing an apple pie hot dog, and this could probably be the most American item ever. It's unbelievable. Well, let's hear what Guy Fieri has to say about it.
So what do you get when the mayor of Flavortown hangs out with the cool kids from Motor City? You get yourself an apple pie hot dog. First, pie crust. Kind of roll that out into a rectangle, and then some bacon jam, getting your bacon nice and crispy, and then cooking it down with a little brown sugar, a little honey, and apple cider vinegar.
Oh,
apple pie filling.
Daddy.
I imagine you probably have an awesome apple pie filling that your grandma used to make, but if you want to get that canned stuff, it's fine to use in this regular hot dog. I'm going to brush the edges of this with some egg wash, and you're going to have to stretch that top piece because you got to work over the top of that hot dog. We have a little crimp, raw sugar, little pie spice on top of that. pop it in the oven, 350, 18 to 20 minutes. Here's the final steps. 50-50 apple pie filling and yellow mustard. Some crumbled bacon. And there you have it, the apple pie hot dog.
Oh, Daddy.
Oh, no, Daddy. No, no, thank you. Oh.
I would try this. I don't
of
think
Of course you would.
What? I don't think it's out of bounds. That's the Guy Fieri term. I don't think it's totally out of bounds. I'm in.
The only thing more gross than this is a hot dog ice cream sandwich that I saw on Facebook.
That is disgusting.
It was like vanilla. Nope. It was hot dog flavored ice cream with chunks of hot dog in it. And like,
why would you want hot dog flavored anything?
It was like a salty bun flavor for the two cookies on top. Oh, it was
now I'm cringing.
Like Guy Fieri and Jesus put together.
Oh no. Oh no, thank you, Mayor Flavortown.
Hook me up with one of those apple pie hot dogs, Nick. Let's go.
You're going to miss all the shots. Sometimes you can't hit all of them. He's like 9 of 10 usually, but this is the one he actually missed.
A bacon jam? No, thank you. I am in, Daddy.
Oh, that is Chris Scheim, John Anderson. Daddy. I am Tyler Devitt. This is the WEI Producers Show. We are back next week and every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. The Curtis and Ken Show is next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.